KFNC,
Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A Gao Media Station. ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 2.5 hours here, where Heel joins the fray at 9 o'clock. What a weekend! What a weekend. And I think for Houston sports, you know, we've had plenty of, you know, big games and big weekends and all kinds of, you know, this obviously doesn't compare to a playoff, Texans playoff game or Western Conference Finals for the Rockets or whatever. But it couldn't have gotten much better with the Astros sweeping the Rockets, just taking care of business. I don't think there's any doubt who the best team in that series is. You also had the Game of Thrones premiere and Tiger winning the Masters. I don't know that the weekend gets much better than that, Lance. We've had a lot of good sports weekends, but this sports weekend is right up there with the best. You know, Lance, I'm pretty sure that you should
turn. Oh, I didn't have my mic on yet.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's pretty much.
I was talking the whole time, but if you consider Game of Thrones a sport, I would say, because you threw that one in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, because of the specter of it being Tiger, not just the Masters, but because it's Tiger with his first win and at the Masters in 14 years, his first major since 2008, the Astros sweeping the team that was the red hot 13-2 Seattle Mariners. Now Seattle Mariners gets put back in Guendry status. And then, of course, the Rockets, you know, having what was probably about the best game they could have, showing defense, showing the ability to hit a three, adjusting to what was an ill-conceived strategy defensively by the Utah Jazz. And, this weekend went about as well as you could have possibly hoped.
You know, the Jazz were the best. The Rockets were, what, the second best team for a while. I don't know if they ended up since the All-Star break, but they were right there with amongst the best defensive teams after the All-Star break. The Jazz were the best, and boy, you're right, it sure didn't look like it. Now, you know, they controlled James Harden, allowing him to score 29 points is what you call control. But they were not letting him. The deal was, we are going to just, he's just not going to take threes on us. He's just not. But we'll let him drive the lane all day long. And if the floater was going, they would have put up 150.
Well, that's what the Bucks did. It's the same defense the Bucks employed.
Yeah. And they don't have Rudy Gobert.
So, you know, so it's
but Rudy Gobert was like he was non-existent inside.
Well, it's interesting because Snacks pulled me aside like a week ago, a little more than a week ago, and said, hey, you need to tell Daryl Morey something. I said, what is it, buddy? And he said, well, I was watching the Milwaukee game, and they made James Harden go to his left, and then they had who's their big that they have? Was it Brooke Lopez?
It is.
Yeah, it is Brooke. He said they had Brooke Lopez there to block his shot, and they made him go to the right and drive, and they wouldn't let him shoot threes. He said, and I'm worried that if the Bucks let this information get out, then the Rockets are done. And I said, all right, I'm going to pass it along. So I sent Daryl Morey a text with that exact thing, same thing. He goes, thanks for giving – tell him thanks for giving us the heads up. I'm going to speak to James about it. I said, okay, sweet. So I'll be damned if the Utah Jazz don't try to do the same thing, where they not only – they didn't just shade him to the right. They played up and almost over the top, saying, go, you can have it. Run, you're not shooting threes. So run down into the paint. And all James did was score 17 with 7 assists by halftime. He already was responsible for 31 points by halftime. But it was a disaster for them.
Were you not a little worried at that point that, you know, the Rockets win with, you know, with math? What the boys call?
No. Yeah. Part of the math is in the paint. They got paint baskets. No, I wasn't worried one single bit.
Absolutely. No, it is the fact that though that they did go an early stretch where Daniel House and PJ Tucker were missing their threes. They were taking twos and it was going back and forth. And I thought, you know, I get it. Easy baskets and driving the lane and getting easy baskets, which Clint Capella struggled with a little bit at the beginning of the game. But I was worried. I was like, well, this doesn't really feel like Rockets basketball. And yet then they opened it up and it was just like a slap fest.
I thought you didn't hear Kenny Smith talking about it at half, did you?
No.
No, he articulated exactly what I was thinking, which this is the worst idea ever because James is so good at throwing a lob pass anyway, and he's developed a floater during the year that's been a pretty good floater for him, and he's such a good finisher that it's like he said, it's not like you're chasing him off the three-point line. It's like you're giving him a running start in a half-court fast break because he had clear runs into the lane where he was able to Euro-step And I just, you know, when you say it's about math, what it is about math, it's about efficiency field goal percentage. And they want a high EFG, and that high EFG also comes from dunks. And then, of course, free throws are it's threes and frees, right? But not just frees, you want free baskets, meaning those easy dunks and alley-oops. And that's what the Jazz gave them. And unless Gobert is going to be better at somehow defending either James finishing or the lob opportunity, I thought it really did not work in Utah's favor yesterday, and the Rockets defended Utah well. Utah's going to shoot the three better. At some point, they were missing some open threes. That game couldn't have gone any better for the Rockets than it did. I mean, other than that one little stall out in the third quarter, they closed the third quarter on a run. And I mean, the Rockets clearly looked like the better team yesterday.
Yeah, and looking at this series beforehand, and it's obviously not over. But good Lord, I mean, there is a marked difference between the two teams. And you said, well, they split the season series. Yeah, but Utah won early, and the Rockets with their new team, the second half version of the Houston Rockets, just took care of that business in a big way. So this is the Rockets are just a better basketball team. I don't think there's any question about that. And this series is going to be a sweep. This is going to be a sweep. Well, I said that. I also said that the Astros would sweep the Mariners. Little did I know that they would hit two grand slams in the first game. Jake Mariznick would be Superman in game two. And then, you know, Aledmys Diaz, baby Marwin, would come through with a huge game winner in game three.
More last third of the game heroics for the Astros as they continue to pile it on late.
Listen, the bottom of the order is a huge, huge difference this year. Last year, it just wasn't nearly as good. In 17, when they won the World Series, that one of the reasons that they had the prolific offense is because you didn't. When Yuli is sixth and Redick is seventh and Chirinos coming up with big hits is eighth, and then Mariznick or Kemp, and Kemp hitting ninth is like another leadoff guy. Yeah. I mean, the bottom of the order is the huge difference in this baseball team. George Springer is coming up with guys on base, and he is, well, he struggled early on, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, look at George Springer and what he is doing. And Altuve, just with this power surge and being unbelievable. You don't even and Brantley coming up with big hit after big hit. This is going to be a fun year. This is going to be a lot of fun. Nine straight wins now. They get the day off and they head to Oakland for a couple of games and then on to Texas to beat their ass. So this is a lot of fun. And then we haven't even, you know, really touched on Tiger. Houston's own Tiger Woods coming through with another major victory. 11 years after the scandal, all of the injuries that he's had to face just a couple of years ago, he couldn't even He didn't even know if he would be able to attend the dinner, let alone play at Augusta. And for him to come through the way that he did this weekend, I mean, it was pretty nostalgic. It was
How did Houston get him when he would never even play here?
Well, yeah, he played at Champions. I don't know if you remember that, the Tour Championship.
Yeah, twice. Never played at the Shell Houston Open or the Redstone Houston Open or the Open presented by Redstone or the Open presented by Shell at the Redstone. He never played in any of those.
Well, yeah. Well, that doesn't matter.
He didn't like the plague.
Well, it's hard to come back home when you're, you know, it's difficult because you're being judged so much more harshly by your home.
You know
people.
What this is? When he's winning in his 40s, you know what this reminds me of? Marco Mira winning. This is very similar to Marco Mira's victory when O'Meara won the Masters in his 40s or U.S. Open, whichever one it was. This is one of those things.
What do you mean? It's like very Marco Mira-like.
Yeah, this is very Marco Mira-like. That's the first thing that came to everyone's head yesterday when Tiger put it in. Like, remember when O'Meara won when he was in his 40s? It's very similar to O'Meara.
Ben Crenshaw, but you know, Jack Nicklaus when he was 46.
So I was in the we had a delay. My flight was delayed, so I'm getting some work done. I'm working on the computer in the little lounge there, just working on a workstation. But really, I'm in there because I want to watch a Masters. So I had my workstation set up, and I went and pulled up to the bar, and I'm sitting there watching the last four holes. And I may have been streaming on the phone on the drive to the airport, just listening to it. Of course, not watching it, just listening to it on my phone. And so, you know, it was an exciting. I had my kids watching it, made sure they knew the history of Tiger. I mean, they knew who Tiger Woods was, but I wanted them to know why this is a big deal. Why Tiger? You know, they know who Jordan is. They know very well who Michael Jordan is. So I wanted them to know that this guy had the same impact on his sport, and he transcends his sport the same way, you know, Jordan did. I mean, it's a very, very, very small group of people that have that impact on a sport. And so I wanted them to know that, and so that they were watching the Masters throughout when we got back from church. Well, anyway, so I go to the airport, and I mean, by the end, everyone's watching this. In this one general area, everyone's watching, and they're responding. And you know how I know that? I didn't really realize it until Tiger had two putts to win it and barely kind of lipped out the first putt, and I heard the, oh, from the entire group. And I look, and I realize – there's probably about 50 people standing behind me just kind of and sitting at these tables just watching this event. I mean, they were all there to watch, you know, Tiger as well. And then there was applause after he won it. It was a golf clap in the United Lounge. It was just a golf clap. But it was I'm sure the ratings are going to be through the roof for this and all that, this and that. But that was that's a lot of closure for Tiger Woods. He really needed a major from a closure standpoint for his career. Don't you think, John, after such an unbelievable start, he had to get at least one more?
Oh, yeah, and I don't think he's done. I mean, you know, you can – I don't know the closure is the right word.
11 years, but
right.
he needed a major. There was a time now. Look, after 10 years, John, don't act like we haven't been thinking maybe it's just not going to happen because there's some young – long hitters on tour. I mean, Brooks Koepka was right there just grinding away. Molinari is such a heckler. He just had that double bogey, which, you know, the whole back nine kind of sunk him.
Yeah, well, 12 and 15, but he had two doubles. But here's the deal is that, yeah, no. A lot of people doubted whether or not, and you know, and rightfully so, whether or not he could get it done. Even last year when he was competing in the hunt on Sundays, there was still a question whether or not he still had the ability to close. And what he did yesterday was prove, you know, there's a lot of arguments to be made here. Jerome Solomon tweeted out yesterday, You can think that Tiger Woods isn't the greatest player ever, but you're wrong. And it's silly to think that. And that's just a wrong opinion. And secondly, you know, there was a question to me.
Why is that a wrong
opinion? Well, we can talk about that on the other side.
Okay.
Because the numbers say Jack Nicklaus is still the greatest player ever. I believe that Tiger's the greatest player ever, but the numbers still say Jack Nicklaus. But we can do that on the other side. And then the other thing is, who won more, Tiger Woods or golf? And that is also something that is arguable. And we can talk about that as well. But right now, we got to talk. A lot of people were wondering, did you see when he got to 17, Tiger put something in his mouth and then he drank some water? And I was questioned whether or not what that substance was, whether or not it was illegal. Some thought maybe he went to 4hymns.com/John5. 4hymns.com/John5. And I said, oh, Tiger doesn't need that. All he needs is the smell of pancakes. And he's going to be ready for action. But here's the deal, is you might need more than the smell of pancakes. Here, if you're looking for a way to have relations, you need to have relations. And it's just not happening for you. So do you want to spend all of that money for these name brand pills? And you know what the name brands are. Cialis, Viagra. They're unbelievably expensive. Plus going to the doctor's office, taking time off of work, and doing all that stuff. Instead, just go to 4hymns.com/John5. 4hymns.com/John5. You will talk to a doctor. You will get the medication that you need, doctor approved. You got to see website for details while supplies last. You will get that medication for just $5 for the first month. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. All you have to do is go to 4hymns.com/John5. $5 for the first month. I believe it's just $30 after that every month. 4hymns.com/John5. 4hymns.com/John5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I had, you know, serious doubts after, you know, what transpired a couple of years ago. I could barely walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I really couldn't do much of anything. Luckily, I had the procedure on my back, which gave me a chance at, you know, having a, you know, a normal life. But then all of a sudden, I realized I could actually swing a golf club again, and I felt if I could somehow piece this together, that I still had the hands to do it.
He really did. It unbelievable day. I thought it was awesome that it was in the morning. I thought it wasn't it? I thought it made it better that we didn't wait all day. Got that done in the morning. Then you had Astros baseball at 3. Then you had Game of Thrones. You had Rockets. It was just a great day.
Worked out perfectly. Couldn't have worked out perfectly from a Houston sports standpoint. You know what it felt like though, John? Watching it, it felt like more like a U.S. Open, where it wasn't that Tiger went out and snatched the victory from other people. I mean, he did in a way, but it was also you had to withstand.
Yeah.
Obviously, 16 was the pin placement was beneficial. You had two hole in ones yesterday on 16, but it was really about not screwing it up too. And Tiger didn't screw it up when others screwed it up. When Brooks Koepka and Molinari are going in the water and Tony Finau are going in the water, Tiger's sitting there just saying, "Yeah, I'm just gonna drop this little dart here between the sand traps, and I'm not going in the water. I'm not overshooting the screen," and he just played a little smarter golf. He was, when he did spray it a little bit right off the tee, he had shots out where, you know, Francisco Molinari did not have a shot out, and that ended up turning into another double bogey for him. And I just thought Tiger withstood the course better than some of the other guys did.
Well, yeah, I think it was, I forget who it was on Twitter. So, well, if Molinari just doesn't, you know, do that on 12 and 15. I was like, yeah, but golf. He did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. In golf, every week, it's who comes through and who doesn't. And that was exactly the case. Who didn't come through? There were plenty of opportunities for Koepka and Dustin Johnson and Poulter and Schauffele and Cantlay when he got the lead. All of a sudden, he fell apart on 16 and 17. I mean, there were plenty of opportunities for everybody, but who was the one that withstood it? And that was Tiger, and he withstood it. So you certainly can't take anything away from that. That's what Augusta is all about. Can you do you have the nerves on those greens when you're coming down the stretch on Sunday? Do you have the nerves to be able to withstand it? And that's what Tiger did. But, you know, I understand that Tiger was yesterday and all of that. I mean, you just can't take anything away from what Jack Nicklaus did. 73 career wins and the 18 majors. And that's what Tiger is striving for. That's what Tiger is all about. Tiger has always been, when he was a little, there was a Nike commercial that came out. The end of it was, he couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 years old, and he said, I am going to beat Jack Nicklaus, and he meant the majors. I want to be the greatest ever, and that's what Tiger is still after. So to think that, I think Tiger is the greatest player ever, and if it wasn't for the 9-iron to the head, the scandal, and all of that stuff, that played with his head. And that's he was a different player after that. And then the injuries certainly added up, the back and the knees and everything else, all of the surgeries that he's had. But that's part of it. The torque that Tiger puts on his body, it takes its toll on the body. And is your body going to be able to withstand it? And the answer was no for a period of time. But he's a different player now. Did you notice that Molinari was out driving him? Tiger has a more controlled, and he talked about it. He said, my driver, that's the best I've hit it, and I don't know how long. It's because he plays under more control now. And he takes something off of it. It was funny. Phil drove up, and he was giving Cooch the business. He was driving up Magnolia Lane, and he made a video, and we can play it. But he was giving Cooch the business because he was going to play with Cooch on Saturday. And he said, I don't know that we're going to make any bets because he'll only pay off 0.06 of whatever I win. But Phil was coming out of his shoes and he said this. He said, statistically speaking, the only place where you have a marked advantage by hitting the ball longer off the tee is Augusta National. This is science. They've done so many. I would think that anywhere where you hit it longer, you have an advantage because you don't have as long a second shot, right?
Right, John, that's always been a fact. When he was younger, he always had a huge advantage.
Right, had a huge advantage.
But he's not as long off the tee as he used to be.
No, he's not even close.
Age and injury have taken its toll.
Yeah.
And then young guys, you know, but that's one of the reasons Tiger is the Michael Jordan of golf as well, is that guys started to lift. Guys started to – length was a really big deal, being able to hit the ball long like Tiger. I mean, he had a huge impact on the tour in that way too.
Oh, absolutely. But that, you know, and I want to tell you something. See, we're not only living in 2019 or during Tiger's era. Back in 1965, Bobby Jones said this: Nicklaus played a game with which I am not familiar. It is a famous quote now. And Jack Nicklaus was the same way. He overpowered everybody. He hit it so much long with those wooden drivers and the hickory shafts, or they turned into steel shafts, but it wasn't near the technology that it is today. Now, the courses are obsolete. Those old courses are obsolete today because the guys hit it so much longer, but the equipment is just so much better. But it's not any different at that time. Now, Jack didn't have the same impact, and you said this about your son, about Michael Jordan, and I would disagree with this. Tiger Woods brought an entire race of people to a sport where it wasn't. Michael Jordan didn't do that.
Michael Jordan brought entire generations of people overseas.
Well, absolutely. Like, but Tiger did that as well. But
not to the extent.
But there
that
wasn't
Michael did.
A race involved in golf that Tiger brought. Tiger brought an entire race to a sport, which no one else, you know, Jackie Robinson did that for baseball back in the day, and Tiger did that for golf.
Here's what Jordan. Well, here's my argument. Jordan created brand. He created brand apparel branding, where Tiger didn't. Tiger, Jordan did. Jordan created the Nike brand. Basically, Nike had been out there. Jordan created everything that you see from a business standpoint. That was Jordan. Where basketball, and then when you hear guys like, what's his name from San Antonio Spurs, Manu Ginobili, talk about the impact that Michael Jordan had, where they played basketball because of Michael Jordan. I mean,
I'm not arguing that. And what Michael did for clothing, no athlete is ever going to do. Tiger did that for Nike golf apparel, but it's not even close. Not even close to what Michael Jordan did. I get that far-reaching brand appeal. I get that, but as far as bringing a number of different people who would have never even thought about golf or didn't, as actually were shunned from the golf world. And now all of a sudden he brought that to the table. It's something that no one else has done. No one has really been able to do what Tiger Woods has done for and even still, it doesn't matter who it is. Jack Nicklaus couldn't do that. Arnold Palmer couldn't do that. Ben Hogan, none of those guys.
Well, you said white athletes can't do it.
Well, right.
No, I mean it's true. Yeah,
Tiger's greatness made it where it was even. You know, I mean, some kind of African-American golfer could have done it, but not to the extent that Tiger did it because of how great he was.
No, and Tiger is a biracial golfer. He's Asian background. His mom is 100%.
I think she's
Taiwanese. However, she's Taiwanese, but his mother's...
Who got Tiger in the racial draft?
Black people did.
White people.
I don't remember, actually. No, he said goodbye fried rice, hello fried chicken. The black delegation got him, actually. Dave Chappelle, credit to him. But I think who was the guy you guys always reference? He goes, if that guy was arrested, Collie. What would Tiger
call
him? If he robbed a bank.
If he robbed the bank, what would they call him?
Well, he said, John goes, he'd be a black man. Thank you, John. But here's the thing. I think an entire race claims him, and I think Asian race is like, hey, wait a minute. We can't have claim on Tiger too.
That's fine.
He's also Targaryen. Tiger's a Targaryen.
The entire country when they
he's
look,
not just a Stark. He's a Targaryen.
You have to be. You're playing the woke game. Not necessarily you, Lance. You play the woke game when you go, oh, he's biracial. People look at Tiger Woods as a black man.
Because
that's how our country.
I'm saying our country
but why,
looks at.
Why does Tiger just that? That's always been puzzling to me. Is Tiger clearly is a biracial child, and his mother's been there from the very beginning. I think it's easier also when Tiger came up, there was less biracial talk and it was more about.
Well, that brings up a good point because we're up against it here, Lance. That brings up a good point. Like when Sansa and Arya are standing on the bridge, my wife was like, why are they only talking about Ned? Why don't they talk about Kat? Okay. Well, when Tiger won, who did he bring up in his press? I got to hug my kids like I hugged my dad. My son got to hug me, gets to hug pops. I got to hug my dad when
his
I won my first,
first
major.
Hug,
it's all come first circle. Why moms? What happened to moms?
Well, I'm not sure because in other sports, mom is always the one who gets the love first. Remember when they always used to show the kids?
Golf is a dad sport. Golf is a dad sport, Dell.
Whatever. Golf is barely a sport. But you see the guys on the sidelines back when they actually still showed those guys college football. Hi, Mom. It was always Mom.
It was always now? Well, that just proves that Tiger's a golfer then, right? Because he doesn't go right for Mom.
All the dad stuff, like the Masters is Coachella for dads.
Well, I mean,
it's just brilliant.
Davis Love III, when he's walking down and the rainbow comes out, that was his dad watching. I mean, it is a dad sport. It's on Father's Day. It's always the Open is on Father's Day every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is.
How do you explain that, Del?
Yeah, you can't explain
it. Explain
that's
that?
Not what is there for me to explain?
See,
what am I explaining?
Can you explain the rainbow when Davis Love is coming down 18 to win his major?
Was it raining and then the sunshine? That's how a rainbow usually occurs.
If
you want me to explain the science of a rainbow,
How do you explain the science of it on a Father's Day?
Well,
it rained on Father's Day and then the sun broke through?
Yeah, no, that wasn't
it. That's convenient, isn't it?
No, that's kind of how it works generally, isn't it?
I don't know. Why a rainbow? Okay. Why, what's going
on? Or maybe someone lived an alternative lifestyle and the rainbow was there to showcase
Davis
it.
Davis Loved III's dad.
Who knows?
Lived an alternative lifestyle.
We got to dig deeper than, oh, look, it's a rainbow for his dad. Maybe his dad was telling him something.
You don't have to dig deeper.
To see. What we have to dig deeper is for the people's trust. That's what we have to dig
deeper. You have to dig deeper on happiness. You know, you choose happiness every single day. You're either going to choose to be miserable today, and you're going to be cranky at your kids. You're going to be cranky at the workplace. You'll be upset when you're driving in and yell at everybody. You can choose happiness. Every single day you choose happiness. And there's different ways you can choose happiness. People's Trust wants to give you yet another way that you can choose happiness, and they want you to go to the website choosehappyhouston.com. They want the entire city to be happy, because if you can hear my voice, then odds are that you can join their federal credit union. And it used to be that it was almost impossible to be in credit unions, and that was something you aspired to because you could get these special rates and you had these special benefits. Well, now you have them as well with my friends over at People's Trust, and I've been part of that community since 2013. We financed my wife's car there, got an unbelievable rate there. They want you to be happy as well if you were a first-time home buyer. They want to give you a chance to finance 100% of your home. What that means is usually you have to put 20% down on your home to avoid the property mortgage insurance, that PMI insurance. Well, that's a lot to put down, 20% of the cost of the home. Now you have an opportunity to finance 100%. How about that? No down payment, and get it all financed through People's Trust. That's something I had never seen before, and that should make you very happy if you are a first-time home buyer to have that opportunity, or maybe a second-time home buyer. ChooseHappyHouston.com and do it with People's Trust Federal Financial Co-op. They are there as your credit union right here in the city of Houston, federally insured by the NCUA. Certain restrictions apply.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, this isn't funny, though. For those of you watching on the stream, the Twin Peaks stream, there's a bobblehead in here, right? Okay, you got it right there. It's a bobblehead, a tiger head with a red shirt and black pants on. Human body with a tiger head. There's a 9-iron wrapped around his head, a steering wheel at his feet, a broken fire hydrant. That's broken tiger?
It says tame the tiger. Back in the good old days when, you know, things weren't great for Tiger. Now things have changed, though.
Things have changed.
Now he's hugging his kids and his mom and some woman you're not a huge fan of. Who's not Elon, whoever his new broad is that you're not a huge fan of.
Well, I think that's a little disrespectful. It's a little disrespectful today.
Well, every time we mention her, because we don't even know her name, because why would she? Because I think the deal is she's not hot enough for us to learn her name. Because, like, let's be clear here. If Tiger Woods' girlfriend was really attractive, we know who Lindsey Vonn is. We knew her beforehand. We learned who Elon was. We learned her name. The current girlfriend is like, we ain't got to really figure that out. We don't care enough.
It is kind of, and when you're watching, it's sad.
What's sad?
It's really sad. When Tiger's mom and his son and daughter are there, and then you see the girlfriend, and you're like, Tiger, you can do better. I don't know.
John, you know
I'm
all
I'm sorry
the...
he loves somebody. John, I'm sorry there's somebody he's just trying
yeah, that's
to be
fine.
In love with.
You can love someone else. He's loved others, clearly.
Plenty of others.
You know better than most of us what the significant others of these golfers look like.
Yeah.
How would you rank? You're making that face. That doesn't
what
help people.
Face? That I didn't make any face.
That doesn't help people who are listening.
That doesn't. I didn't make any face. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, rank. Is she a top 40 golfer wife in the world or girlfriend in the world? What is she? No?
I don't know what you're talking about. We're not ranking people. What is this, high school?
We're in sports.
Didn't we have those high school girls who were upset because the boys were ranking them?
Yes, we
don't
did.
Don't you think that the male golfers out there would be offended?
No. Well, it depends on where their girl would rank. Like, if they were really low, they'd right. probably be a little upset. Like, Tiger, he won the Masters, elated. If he found out our rankings for his girl, he'd be less elated.
Yeah. Well, I've seen Brooks Koepka's girl in her thong.
And you would rate her higher.
Yeah, but I couldn't even look at the page because Koepka had a thong on, too.
Yeah, I've seen that picture. It's not great.
That was unfortunate. We know Paulina. You know, we know Amy, Phil's wife.
And we've learned their names.
Right.
Generally because they've been attractive.
Correct. We want to know their name.
Yes. Because we want to be
That's not the
weird,
case with Tiger. I can't tell you what Tiger's
girl's
name
is. I don't know what her
name
is either.
I don't know.
I saw her on Sunday.
I'm glad you guys are inhuman. It's Kelly.
Is it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess. Who's going to argue?
That up.
Yeah, you probably do. Who's going to argue with him? Because no one else knows.
No one in the world knows.
Nobody knows. And you just happen to go with Kelly.
Jim Nance knew. He said her name, but I forgot it right away.
Because why would you?
Well, because.
Why would you want to remember?
I put it out of my mind.
You're like, oh. I don't need that information. I'm never going to look that up.
There is some information you keep and some you just... Yeah.
Death by Sexy said, I'm with Lance. Michael's better than Tiger. First of all, I wasn't saying Michael's better than Tiger. He goes, I'm with Lance because golf is terrible. Real sports don't give you a tacky coat in lieu of a trophy.
That's not... What? See, you're just un-American or just racist. You don't want Tiger to win. Okay.
Tiger became the first sports billionaire. No, that's incorrect. But he already answered that.
He didn't become the first sports billionaire. Michael did.
Michael did.
Michael became the first sports billionaire.
Now, here's a legitimate – I didn't get a follow-up on this. There's no question Tiger, and it's something I told my kids, had an impact because he brought fans to a sport, right? He brought a segment of people, and not just African-Americans.
No.
I'm talking about people who didn't care about golf at all, Mexicans. Italians, John. There were certain Italians who probably Molinari plays golf because of Tiger. That's a guess. That's a total guess, but I feel like I might be right. There are probably French people who said, however they talk in French. So, but the one thing is, what has been interesting that has come up is, well, we know Michael Jordan had an impact, and we've also seen guys like, obviously, there have Ichiro has had an impact. We had Yao Ming has had a massive impact on the Asian community in Houston and activating them as Rockets fans, and of course the business partnerships. The question that arose that I think is pretty interesting because I'm not sure that it translated as much as we expected it to is what impact did the Tiger run truly have on changing the culture of golf in the African American community? And I think when Tiger's going well, it was huge, and there's no question there have been some golfers who are African-American. Of course, there's been of all races who have come in because of Tiger Woods. But has it had the lasting effect? Are we going to see the results of Tiger's dominance in youth golf moving its way into the professional tour because of it with young African-American
golfers? Oh, I think
Is it there?
I think we have. I think everybody on that tour will tell you, right now, all these guys, Schauffele said it yesterday, Koepka, all of these guys talked about Tiger as their hero.
No, I know. I'm talking about in the African-American community.
Oh, well.
We're the young black golfers that have, because I'm sure there were some out who have been affected and impacted that Tiger would bring an entire race to a sport. This has been one of the curious things to me is I expected there to be, let's say in 2001 where he was so, so dominant. If there was a kid who was 6 years old back then, he would be, 23, 24 now. I would expect for him to be on the tour playing by now. Like, where's the dominant kids that were African-American kids? Because I really, truly did expect that to happen.
Yeah, right. Golf. I think it's still because golf is so difficult. Now, there are plenty of of programs in the United States that are trying to, but you know, unless you make that effort to go to, you know, to get clubs, because you are able to get clubs, it's still such an expensive sport that it is, it's very difficult. I think the same thing, you know, although you haven't had a Tiger Woods in hockey, you still don't see that same ability for the African American community to be, even baseball is different. I mean, hey, if you're waiting for golf, people are still waiting for baseball right now, because it's, you know, you got to have a glove, you got to have the field, you got to have the bats, you have to do, you know, it's difficult. So, I mean, I could certainly see where there should have been an influx right now, but there hasn't been. And I think part of that is because of how difficult it is to play the sport, for unless you have any kind of money. And the you know, the richer kids, they just have such an advantage, being at the country club, being able to get those lessons, you know, and being able to, you know, do. And Tiger Woods grew up with golf. His father, I mean, from a young, we always, obviously, you've seen the Mike Douglas show with Tiger as a 3-year-old on TV. You know, he was a phenom when he was 3, 4, 5 years old. Unless you have that, unless you are that, I don't know that you're going to, you know, be able to see that kind of impact, because
Tiger
it is so,
was born with something special.
He really, I mean, was.
That's
and his dad,
first of all.
And his dad made that, he made that commitment to him as well.
No question.
All right.
No question.
Let's talk. We'll get you guys in here. Biscuit and Tiny want to get in here and give some opinions on this on the other side. But first, you got to talk about Men's Tea Clinic.
Well, so Men's Tea Clinic is a group that really. So I went in the other day and we did the blood work to make sure and see where my different levels are. One of the things that separates them from everyone else is they want to make sure that when you're going in, that they take the time to get to know you, to get to know where your levels are. And it's not just the first time that you test and find out whether or not you're low in testosterone and a candidate for the treatment. It's also beyond that. They want to make sure that you are where you're supposed to be so that your levels are where they're supposed to be. And if you are low, they will increase your dosage. They check the levels of this level and that level and the red blood cells. And if there's anything that's a little bit off, they will make corrections on how they treat you. For me, I have red blood cells that went up, so they said, okay, we just need you to go give blood a couple of times, and that will put those numbers back down. They're always looking into what they need to do to make sure that you get the most out of your treatments. When you get your testosterone levels back to the levels they're supposed to be when they were in your 20s and 30s, your energy level, your metabolism, your libido, your drive at work, just everything about you is going to be sharpened, heightened, and exactly where you want it to be. That's the difference. That's how you live your best life at MensTeaClinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com. Go to the website and find one of the 4 locations near you.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, you never give up. That's a given. You always fight. I mean, that just, giving up's never an equation. Granted, pushing and being competitive has got me into this position, but it's also what got me out of it. And so I've always had a pretty good work ethic throughout my career and throughout my life, and I just had to change the work ethic a bit and work on some different things. And so, you know, focused on that and just keep fighting. And that's just part of the deal. We wake up every morning and there's always challenges in front of us, and keep fighting and keep getting through them.
That was Tiger. And when asked about, you know, overcoming all of the adversity that he had faced, physically, mentally, all of those things, and what you tell people that are facing adversity, And he did. He faced all of that stuff, all kinds of stuff. No question he was a different player after the incident with Elon. And, I mean, it was immediate. It was immediate how he changed. And then the injuries caught up as well. Now that he's healthy, his head is there, is good. You know, does he catch Jack now? I think a lot of people he thought would never win again, they were, you know, they were shut up yesterday. Now, you know, whether or not he can catch Jack is another question. It's, you know, he's already 43 years old. It's difficult to win at his age, but you see, he can. He's the great. I believe he's the greatest. Now, whether or not he's the greatest ever is arguable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we live in this generation, so we're going to think.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But
right.
Is Tiger? Wait a minute. Is Tiger actually LeBron?
Jack and
is it Jack and
Michael?
Is Jack Michael and I've always wanted to believe Tiger's Michael, and we don't have a LeBron yet. Maybe Tiger's LeBron.
Well, here's the deal. I don't know. Jack is more like LeBron in that he won 18 times. He finished second 19 times. So, I mean, you know, LeBron got there a bunch. He got there every year, but he wasn't able to finish all the time. Jack wasn't able to finish. I mean, it's amazing to finish second at a major.
Jack was Tom Brady.
Yeah, that could, yeah. Well, maybe that's a better analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah. An analogy. Let's get Biscuit in here. He wants to talk about Tiger. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, man. Top of the morning to you fellas, man.
How's it going,
My take, and usually on Sundays, I'm at, you know, getting my worship on or whatever, but I was at the hospital late Saturday night, so I was, you know, sleeping in and just happened to think and remember today with the match was on. I just flipped it on, and to you, Lance, my fiance even, and golf was never on the radar for a lot of women and minorities, and Tiger right. brought that into the – so she sit there and watch it because Tiger was on.
Yep.
And one of the observations, first of all, you talked about Tiger's lady. She may not be in the top 40, as ranking, but I give her most improved because from the last time we've seen her to this time, it was a marked different look there.
My main point,
though, with Tiger, though, man, and you guys know I always be coaching the kids and in the community with the kids and say, this was a teaching moment because this is the three P's come into play. If you are persistent, if you are patient, and you're able to persevere, you can come out on top. And Tiger he was dead in the water 9, 10, and 11. Tiger was hitting the ball all over the place. But when those guys put the ball in the water and left the door open, Tiger was a different player. He was hitting it straight down the middle. It was like, wow, when he seen the opportunity, he took advantage of it.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to like about Tiger. He, when the door was left open, he didn't waste it. He took advantage of it.
And you're absolutely right. He said 12 changed the whole tournament. When both of those guys, when Molinari and Finau went in the water, and earlier Koepka went in the water on 12, it changed everything, and he did. It's funny. That's the first time Tiger, and it's kind of amazing that he has come from behind to win. He has led. He led all 14 majors after three rounds. All 14 of his wins, and this is the first time that he was trailing after three rounds that he won a major. And with his intestinal fortitude, you would think that he would come on strong, which is why the 86, there's so many things to talk about here. The 86 Masters where Jack had to shoot 30 on the back nine to win the thing, and he was making birdie after birdie after birdie, was just so amazing. So amazing. Tiger was different. Let's get Tiny in here. He's been waiting, Dell, and then we'll take a break. Tiny, what's going on?
Morning, man. How's everybody doing?
What's up, pal?
Good, good.
Man, let me tell you, I heard Lance this morning, so I had to call in. We're busy over here setting up for this crawfish event next weekend. You know, I lived in Aiken, South Carolina for 7 years when I was younger, and my dad took me to the Masters three times. And I finally got to go back a few years ago, and what Tiger Woods did when Tiger Woods won Augusta changed not only the landscape for the way they look, the way that the young kids look at golf, but, man, he changed the landscape of one of the most racist places ever in a sports atmosphere. I mean, if you look at Augusta, 50s, 60s, 70s, even in the early 80s,
right,
the caddies there, you couldn't bring your own caddy. They supplied your caddy, and it literally was like, wow, this is almost crazy. And then finally, Nick Faldo got his wife in the caddy when they changed the rules. And then Jim Thorpe, you know, he came to play. But when I went to the Masters in the late 80s, early 90s, I think the only people that weren't white were Jose Maria Olazabal. You had Seve, Thorpe played, and Jumbo Ozaki were the only ones that I remember. Okay? And then now it's the entire world. Tiger Woods opened the golf door for, and I know they had a lot of players, you know, overseas or whatever, but I'm talking about here in the United States where everybody can play golf. Because when I was young, even growing up in North Augusta and playing the Augusta Country Club, which is right next door to the Masters, it was almost, look, you have to meet a certain salary criteria, and you have to be a certain skin color to be able to play golf here. Tiger Woods broke those walls down, and when I go play golf now, I see foursomes of everybody playing. So has it equated to the PGA Tour yet? No. Will it? I think it will, but it's going to take something because it is expensive. John was right. It's expensive to play golf and be on a plateau and get from where you need to go when you're young to where you're – because you got to get sponsors. You have to have all this travel. You have to do all this stuff. It's going to happen, and it's because of Tiger Woods.
Yeah. We got to take a break, Tiny. We appreciate it. Just take that a step further. In 1962, Charlie Sifford led the Canadian Open, shot 67. Augusta called their pro shop and said, just so you know, this year they are not offering a spot in the Masters to the Canadian Open champion. This happened right after Charlie Sifford, an African-American, was in the lead.
They couldn't even let that man get through a final round before they made it.
He got to the course.
Just in case.
He got to the course. Hey, what?
On an unrelated note.
It just so happens there's been a rule change.
Hey, just so
did y'all get that letter we sent out?
So you know.
We postmarked it. Did you see it? Did it come? I know mail's been getting out of Augusta kind of janky ever since Clarence is no longer carrying mail.
No, we didn't get anything. What is it? No. Oh, yeah, whoever wins can't come by.
8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.